at www.survive2thrive.net. That's survive2thrive.net. We hope you'll find the commentary from our hosts interesting and helpful. Steve Quayle will host on Fridays, Hawk on Thursdays, Steve St. Clair, Darren Craddock, and occasional guests on Wednesdays, Nathan Leal on Tuesdays, and Darren on Mondays. These are trying times that look to be getting more and more challenging every day. Our hosts want to keep you informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas, health that you will need to survive and thrive in these challenging times. Please keep in mind that these shows do cost money to air, and presently EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with information, but also with incredibly effective products designed to bring you to optimum health, your natural state. By supporting EnerHealth, you support this network, and your own health and ability to thrive in these times. Go to survive2thrive.net, that's www.survive2thrive.net, and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right, or call them at 866-762-9238, that's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com, that's E-N-E-R-F-O-O-D.com. Many of our listeners are already taking the products that EnerHealth has to offer, and we thank you for that. Their EnerFood product can extend the life of your dehydrated food supplies by one-third, simply by taking one tablespoon a day. In essence, the EnerFood and coconut combined constitute a meal replacement, so that can extend the life of your stored foods. And in addition to giving you energy and nutrition that your body needs, it has a 2-year shelf life. Take a look also at the organic Coco Mojo and coffee, as well as our other immune-boosting herbal supplements. There are incredible specials for network listeners from time to time, so be sure to tune in often for important information and great prices. We trust that the information our hosts and myself give on these shows is truly helpful. We want to help reduce physical and other forms of suffering for you, your family, and community today and in the times that are coming. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy tonight's show.
Well, hello, 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 my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry program here on the Survive to Thrive Network. My name is Nathan Liao, and today is Tuesday, February 1st, 2011, the year of our Lord. For those of you taking notes, the website is watchmanscry.com. And here we are, folks. Already in the second month of the year 2011, and what a wild ride this year has already been. 2011 continues to bring us headlines, and every week it's another story, completely different, but vital in potency. And in the past month, we have had many things visit this planet. We have had many events occur. In fact, let's do a quick summary, a rundown on what we have already seen just in the past month. We've already seen the worldwide phenomenon of dead birds, dead fish, dead beasts of the field, anomalies that are baffling scientists. There's a lot of dead creatures showing up on the radar here in the land. And over the past several programs, we have discussed why that is happening. It's because God has announced to us with a sign that we have entered a new chapter, a new season. And all of us, every one of us, are going to participate in this new chapter. We're all going to see it, folks. We're all going to feel what's coming. And that chapter is titled, The Land Will Mourn. What does that mean? That means that things are going to happen to this planet. Things are going to happen in the city that we live in our states, in our country. And these things that are going to happen are going to result in sorrow, sadness, and mourning. This world is now being judged for the great evils, the great ills, the great stains that the earth is now participating in. Many nations are under judgment right now, and America is leading the pack. America is experiencing a very heavy blow to its pride. We are going to be in a season of judgment, and this thing is going to last for a long, long time. Why are these things happening? Well, it's because the land has defiled itself. So we're there, folks. It has started. And we are in the third year of this judgment. It's going to play out in many dramatic and colorful headlines as it affects a lot of people's lives. From the earthly point of view, this judgment may be called what you hear on some of the sanitized news, and that is the Great Recession. But, of course, those statements are fallacies, they're lies, they're spins, and they're not true. The present judgment can be described in earthly terms as a Great Depression. We are in the second Great Depression right now, and it's soon going to evolve into a super depression. So that's where we are, folks. And the year 2011 has not disappointed those that can see these things arriving. Now, in addition to the dead creatures that I just mentioned, we have also seen crazy weather already in the last several weeks. Great flooding in biblical proportions in Brazil, in Europe, in Asia. And then we have Old Man Winter, who has arrived and has shaken his snow in many parts of the United States. In fact, right now, for those of you that are in the East Coast, bundle up and stay safe, my friends. You're going to be getting hammered this week with another round of storms and blizzards and freezing rain. And in addition to crazy weather, we're also experiencing a lot of seismic activity. The earthquake swarms have not abated. We are seeing a lot of earthquake activity in the Midwest along the New Madrid fault line. We're seeing it in California. We're seeing it in South America. We're seeing it throughout the world, folks. And we're also seeing volcanoes that have been sleeping for many, many years starting to wake up. In fact, in the last few days, we have seen a story about another volcano that has awakened in Japan. So earth changes are also happening. The earth is rocking and rolling, folks. And then on top of that, we're seeing the anomalies of the magnetic North Pole wandering around, not knowing where it belongs. It seems that the magnetic North Pole has become confused and does not know where it's supposed to reside. As a result, it's wandering around. And we've been talking about those things as well. So those things have happened. And then on top of that, we have the financial markets that are very volatile right now. The United States greenback dollar and the euro are about to collapse. They're teetering at the edge. And when that happens, we are going to see another great episode in this financial crisis, a devaluation. And we've also been talking about that in the past several weeks. In addition to that, we have city governments are broke, state governments are broke, and as the budget shortfalls continue to arrive with these governments, we're going to see some of them possibly go bankrupt if Congress will allow. I expect to see cities go bankrupt as well. Massive layoffs are going to be coming for government employees, folks. And then we're also going to see pension funds that state governments can no longer afford to pay. So in addition to that, we have unemployment benefits expiring for a lot of the workforce of America that has been unemployed now for over 2 years. And folks, these stories actually affect people that we know. It affects friends and family. Possibly it's affecting you right now. And then on top of that, we have the mortgage meltdown that is teetering on the brink of collapse. The mortgage meltdown 2.0 has arrived. It's a new version of what we saw in 08. And now we're going to see 11 million houses either go into default and or lose their value. And some of the numbers that are coming out recently, the American housing market is expected to lose another $1 trillion in value in the next year or two. It's crazy, folks. And then on top of that, we have the specter of war in several fronts. The threat of war between the Koreas, North and South Korea. And in addition to that, now we have the Middle East beginning to unravel. What's happening there, folks? Have you been paying attention? It started just a week ago. And we're going to be talking about that in depth later on in the program, so please be looking for that. Now, again, what does all this mean? What's next? What's in store for the year 2011? What's going to happen this month in February or next month in March? What do you think, folks? Well, I can say this. It is not going to be boring. It's going to be very, very dramatic. It's going to be terrifying at times. It's going to be scary. It's going to be a bumpy ride, so folks, fasten your seatbelts because we are there. It's judgment, folks. It's a package that, in one respect, sounds simple, judgment of God. But when you start dissecting the elements in the package, it consists of a lot of pieces. It's very complex. And as it continues to plow over this land, I have a question. What are you going to do? That's what this program is about. That's what we talk about. And today is going to be no different. We're going to talk about more things that are coming. And we're going to challenge ourselves. Also, another thing that's going on is there have been some legislative decisions that have occurred just yesterday. I'm also going to talk about that story in just a few minutes, but that one has to do with the moral fiber of the world, the moral darkness. That's something that doesn't really exist in a lot of places. So we're going to talk about that. Toward the end of the program, I'm also going to talk about the Egyptian revolt. I'm going to give some thoughts about it. And we're going to be examining if these things are actually prophesied in the scriptures, in the Bible. There's a good chance that they are, folks. And if they are, that means that the ride is going to get even more interesting. You know, folks, I know that it's no fun hearing that life could be changing for a lot of us. It's not fun to hear that the vacation's over. I know that for a lot of people, change is very difficult. But you know, folks, I would imagine that most of you that are listening are grown-ups, and, well, we have to face our lives. We have to face the challenges that are upon us. And I encourage you to do that. I also invite you to share this program with your friends and your family and perhaps your pastor. And for those that you're concerned about, share it with them, folks. Now, we're in the new season, folks. 2011 started with the dead animals. I shared a little about it last week. And also in my last sermon, number 160, I went into more detail about this. Hosea 4:3 has arrived on planet Earth. The land will mourn, and those who dwell in the land shall waste away, shall languish. The beast of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea shall be carried away. It's a season of mourning and languish, my friends. You know, folks, there's a lot of people that are now anticipating that World War III is coming. In fact, I have an excerpt of an interview that occurred with a very wealthy man, Mark Faber, and in an interview, he said that the superpower of the world, the United States, is going to be losing their position in the world. He also says that China is going to be a rising economic power, and in the interview, he hinted that World War III is drawing near. And according to him, he believes that it's going to involve China and North Korea, the United States, and of course, other countries. So even a very wealthy man like him believes that the future is not looking very well. He also said that he thinks it may be possible that eventually in the future, the United States is going to limit the ability of people to take money out of the United States and send it offshore. So people need to think about taking their money offshore if they plan to leave the country in the future. Well, let me read what he said right here. I have the interview right here printed out. He said, you should not have your $1 billion in the American banking system where the government might take it away one day or prevent it from moving overseas. Now, since he's very, very wealthy, does that mean he knows about some of the legislation that's coming? I don't know, folks. But he said he wouldn't have his $1 billion in American banks. He also said this. This is interesting. I don't know why he said this, but get this, folks. He said, you also don't want to own gold in America, where expropriation is a possibility, as it happened in 1933. You want to hold it in custody in either Singapore, Australia, Dubai, or Hong Kong. And then he went on to say, if the United States expropriates gold, the government won't take it away without, of course, paying the going rate. It will pay the going price per ounce, but then overnight it could revalue gold to $10,000 an ounce. And then the United States would put enormous pressure on the Swiss National Bank and on others to do the same thing. But of course, the Chinese will tell America to get lost, so you should probably have a safe deposit box in Hong Kong for your gold. Wow. So is that true? I don't know, folks. I'm just reading what Mark Faber said. Anyway, take that to heart. For those of you that are wealthy and you wonder what to do with your money, it's interesting what he said. And it's also interesting on where he said to park it. Australia, Singapore, Dubai, or Hong Kong. So for those of you that are listeners in Australia, I guess some of the wealthy people of this world think that you're a safe haven for wealth. Well, I guess that remains to be seen. Anyway, I just wanted to share that story because even the very, very wealthy of this world can tell that things are getting very, very unsteady. Very volatile. And here's the conclusion out of this, folks. When it comes to where to preserve your wealth, what to do with it, where to keep it, it's going to take a lot of wisdom. It's going to take a lot of research. It's going to take counsel, and it's going to take prayer for you to figure out what to do with yours. So that means that for those of you that have not done that yet, I want to challenge and encourage you to start doing that. That's the task at hand, my friends. You know, it's amazing. I've been contacted by some people that are actually telling me that, you know, Nathan, when is it going to be time to leave this country? You know, I can't answer that because at this point in time, I believe that the will of God for me right now is to stay where I am right now in the northwest of the United States. You know, folks, I know that some people are considering leaving the country. And if that's what God tells you to do, then you should do it. Or at least get your ducks in a row, get your passports together, and just have everything ready so you can do it a lot quicker than if you haven't been preparing, perhaps even at a moment's notice. So anyway, folks, we're living in interesting times, and I encourage everybody to be considering where they need to be to write this thing out. Now, God may want some of you to leave the country, but it's also possible that God may want some of you to just relocate to a different part of the country, perhaps into a more rural area, a less populated area, perhaps get out of the big city, perhaps move to a part of the country where it would be easier to be self-sustaining. You know, folks, if some of you are thinking about that, don't put it off. I believe that God is moving people to different parts of the country. I get a lot of emails from many of you that ask me my opinions on different parts of the country, and if I can, I share it. If I can't, I'll also share that. But folks, the time is now to be doing this. So whether you're going to leave the country or relocate to a different part of the country, you know, get yourself a farm, get yourself some property away from the cities, maybe move into the mountains, get yourself a garden, get yourself some animals to help feed you. Folks, do it now. The time's now to be thinking about that. Anyway, let me move on. I have a report here from January 31st. This happened yesterday. To all of you that live in the state of Illinois, I have a giant, huge congratulations for you because your state governor just placed a huge, giant bullseye over the state of Illinois in the eyes of God. And it appears that Governor Quinn signed a bill legalizing civil unions for gay and lesbian couples. So Illinois has now joined five other states that recognize gay marriage or gay unions. The other five states are Massachusetts, Connecticut, Iowa, New Hampshire, Vermont, and Washington, D.C. So those of you in Illinois, you know, this is really amazing. You know, folks, those of you that heard my last sermon, number 160, if you haven't, you can go to my website, watchmanscry.com. It's on the homepage, or go to the audio page and download and listen to it. But in that program, I was talking about how America is now provoking God. America has lost her way. America does not seem to be concerned in the slightest that she needs the help of God. Instead, she's doing the opposite thing. She's defying God. She's provoking God, and seems to be doing everything in the wrong direction that is going to nullify any chance of God helping. America is totally burning the bridges of God's mercy lately. And Illinois is no different. Legalizing civil unions for gay and lesbian couples. And Governor Quinn was quoted as saying, "Here we are in 2011 on the eve of Abraham Lincoln's 202nd birthday, and I think this is very special," Quinn said, as 20 politicians joined him on stage and hundreds of supporters packed a hall in the Chicago Cultural Center. "We believe in civil rights and we believe in civil unions." This law is scheduled to take effect this summer, June 1st, and I have a comment to make about that. Attention, Illinois. That is, if you make it that long, because I believe that Illinois is in one of the worst conditions as far as the budget goes in this country. Illinois is broke. Illinois is upside down, underwater, in the red, and Illinois cannot fund the pensions of the retirees. Illinois is in trouble. And then they go and do this. It's amazing. When Illinois needs God's mercy, they pull this one. They're broken. Now you guys have that target on you, asking for God to judge you. So for those of you that live in Illinois, perhaps you should be asking God about moving across the border. So when the heavenly harpoon comes out of the clouds to hit the state of Illinois, it will not hit you on the head. All right, folks? Just some friendly advice from Nathan Leal, because you never know, my friends. Now, moving on. So it looks like civil unions for gay and lesbian couples are hip and cool to be occurring here in America. I have another story here. I have to talk about this one, folks. I was in Safeway a few days ago. I was in the grocery store at the checkout, and there's one of those tabloid magazines. I believe it was Us magazine. And I couldn't believe what I was looking at. I was offended. I was grieved when I saw the picture on the cover. For those of you that are part of the pop subculture, you might say, oh, brother Nathan, when I tell you what it was. But it was a picture of Elton John with his husband holding their brand new baby that they had delivered to them in the past month. And it was a story about their brand new baby. Well, it turns out I wasn't the only one that was bothered when I saw it, because there was a supermarket chain down in Arkansas, and I believe the name of their store is called Harps, and a customer in Harps saw that same magazine cover and complained to the manager, so the manager placed in front of the Us magazines what they call a family shield. It's a piece of opaque solid plastic. I guess this family shield plastic is placed on magazines when they're offensive. So they placed it in front of the Us magazine. Well, a few days went by and another customer saw that. They saw that Elton John's quote unquote beautiful family photo was covered up, and they got offended. So they took a picture of this plastic cover over Elton John's picture. They sent it to several newspapers, and before you know it, there was a great big to-do about it. There was a stir about it. So now Harp's grocery store became a homophobic, judgmental, terrible, anti-American, anti-civil rights, shame on you grocery store, because they covered up two homosexuals holding their surrogate baby. And you know, folks, as I look at this story, I just shake my head, and I know I'm not going to change it, but it's just an indicator of how far we've come now. It's amazing, folks. So Elton John and his husband of 5 years, David Furnish, are showing off their little infant. And, you know, folks, let's be honest here. Two men getting married is just weird. It's not right. It's wrong. It's vile, and it's an abomination. There's no way to spin this. There's no way to say it nicely. There's no way to say it without offending some of those that are pro-homosexual. It's wrong, folks. I mean, first of all, come on. The plumbing doesn't even work. Two men do not make a baby. They have to hire a woman to do it. So right there, the anatomy proves, the anatomy that was created by God in the garden actually reveals that two men married to one another is against nature. But here they are on the cover, so proud to have their baby. And their little baby has five names: Zachary, Jackson, Levi, Furnish, John. So I guess he got Elton John's last name, and Elton John's husband, his name is David Furnish, so the baby also has Furnish for a last name. So again, Zachary, Jackson, Levi, Furnish, John. So Elton John is 63 years old, and he's getting a newborn infant. Now, let's set aside just the notion that this is weird. He's 63. So by the time the baby is 18 years old, graduating from high school, and Elton John, if he lives that long, is going to be seeing this little baby graduate at the age of 81. If he gets married a few years later, then again, Elton's going to be well up into his 80s. Folks, let's be honest. The guy's too old to be having a baby. And then on top of that, again, it's not right. It's not normal. But aside from that, the members of the Alliance, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, or GLAAD, GLAAD, made a big stink about it. They were outraged that Harp's grocery store covered up Elton John's family photo, and they started to publicize it. They called the main office, and of course the main office bent, succumbed, apologized, and removed the shield. And you know, folks, as I think about this group, GLAAD, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, you know, just thinking about that. And to the proponents of GLAAD, I have this to say. Your efforts to resist being defamed because you're against defamation, your efforts to resist being defamed still do not change the end result with the God of heaven. The gay and lesbian lifestyle is defamed. In God's eyes, it is not benign and it is not noble. And even though man may call it hip and cool, it's an abomination. I'm sorry, folks, but I, Nathan, must call it what it is. It's not normal. And in that interview, by the way, Elton John was asked if he cared if his son grew up gay or straight. And Mr. Elton and David said, this is how it says. It says the couple said that the important thing is that he's healthy and happy and loved. And neither daddy cares if their little boy grows up to be gay or straight. And a friend of the couple said, Elton and David are already amazing dads. Now, let me just visit that statement for a second. Amazing dads. You know, according to the Bible, an amazing dad is someone that trains up their child in the way that they should go. So I wonder if this amazing dad is going to do that. What do you think, folks? I doubt it. At least not with his present lifestyle. As I read this story, it went on to, folks, I'm sorry, this is just creepy and weird. Elton John and David were asked, what is the baby going to call you? And you know, folks, that's a good question. What do children call their gay parents? What do you call them? If it's two moms or two dads? And this is what they have decided. One of them will be daddy and the other one will be papa. Interesting, huh, folks? But I wonder, what about mommy? I'm sorry, but this is just freaky. It's odd. It's wrong. And no amount of flair is going to change the fact that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. A child needs a mother and a father. And I don't need a PhD in psychology to tell you that children of gay marriage are going to have issues. You know, folks, you can get mad at me for saying this, but I'm not going to wimp out on this one. I'm not going to wimp out like Joel Osteen, who is afraid to call homosexuality a sin. So let me just say it. Homosexuality is a sin, it's wrong, and it is an abomination. And it is one, not all, it's not all of the reason, but it's one of the reasons that this nation is going to be destroyed. Nathan, you're a homophobe. And if perchance some of you might be thinking that, you know, the word phobe is from phobia. So homophobe means I have a phobia or a fear or I'm afraid of homosexuals. And you know what, folks? I'm not afraid of homosexuals. They have vile affection. But I'll tell you who I am afraid of. I fear God, plain and simple. And that's why I'm talking about this right now. What I'm saying right now is not popular any longer. And I know that even in some places, it's now illegal to be saying this. I believe in Canada, it's illegal to say this. And pretty soon here in America, it's going to be illegal to say this. And for those pastors that are out there wimping out, afraid to call sin, sin, and not just homosexuality. I'm talking about all of them. Today's flaky, weak, motivational gospel that lacks a backbone is afraid to call sin, sin. But thank God, my friends, you're not listening to one of them castrated preachers. I, Nathan Liao, bring you the truth. I have to share the truth, folks. And by the way, how did we get here? How did we get to the point where talking about certain sins is now illegal? You know how it happened, folks? Because too many Christians sat on their hands and did nothing about it. And because they were silent too long about the things that offend the heart of God. But I guess now it's too late and God's going to shake this land. So there you go. By the way, if you happen to be in the homosexual lifestyle, I'm not speaking out of hatred right here. I do not hate homosexuals. I do not hate prostitutes. I do not hate those that are committing adultery. Those that are backslidden. I don't hate anyone, my friends. But the reason that I speak so passionately about these things is because when those that are participating in sin shove it in our face and then dare us to be bothered by it, I'm going to say something. You know, it's just like if you had a man that was having an affair on his wife and he walked around promoting it, parading it, letting everyone know what he was doing. And then if anyone said anything about it, he would get angry about it. It's the same thing, folks. You know, folks, all of us are guilty. And if you've listened to enough of these programs, I'm on record saying that. None of us are without sin. Every one of us need the rescue of God. We all do, my friends. Just like Elton John does and his quote-unquote partner. They need God. They need Jesus. So I say let's pray for him. You never know, folks. Now, I'm looking at the time and it looks like we're up to the halfway point. We're at the break. So after the break, we're going to talk about what's happening in Egypt. We're going to talk about the revolt that's happening in the Middle East in several countries. And I'm also going to give some thoughts about where it might be leading us. Stick around. You're not going to want to miss this, folks. We'll be right back.
Now, we're going back to the Health Ranger, and one of my sales guys pointed this out. They go, you know, the Health Ranger really loves Interfood, and it won their best superfood 2009. And so, you know, asking what he thinks about it, but I'm putting him on the spot here. But I remember about 5 years ago, I got some of this sent to me, and I was so busy, I didn't even call them back because they wanted to be sponsors. But years later, we came back. My wife loves it. It's two little scoops in the morning in water or juice. You drink it, and it's 20 superfoods at once, and that way you absorb almost all of it. Even with the best vitamins and minerals, a lot of it gets passed through you, and you've got a lot of specials there on the site for Alex Jones listeners. Interfood.com or 866-762-9238, 866-762-9238, interfood.com. Give us your brief take on Interfood.
Like you said, I did give it an award, an Editor's Choice Award. It's the real thing. And not only is the product really great, but the company's great. The people there are great. They get it. You know, they understand nutrition. They understand what's happening with the world, and they want you to be nutritionally prepared. And, I mean, that's the bottom line with this product. It's I use it.
Well, I know my wife gets upset when she runs out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really that good.
Yeah, she's a lot more health conscious than I am. I mean, I try to be. I mean, compared to the average American, I guess I'm okay, but I do have a lot of bad habits. But I noticed that when I first started taking it, I mean, it was almost like a drug or something. I mean, there's no speed, no caffeine in it, but it's almost like jolting to have real nutrients.
It makes you alert without any kind of caffeine type of buzz. No stimulants whatsoever. It just basically clears out your system. And it makes your brain and body function better. You know, I mean, superfoods are really powerful for doing that. And with Interfood, he's combined a lot of the best ones in the world. I don't give out a lot of awards. You probably know that.
And the key is they don't pasteurize it either, so it doesn't lose the...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you've got the nutrients that are destroyed by heat. In Interfood, they're not destroyed. They're intact. And that makes all the difference.
Absolutely. Okay.
Watchman's Cry Ministries would like to take a moment to say thank you to our sponsor, Steve St. Clair of Inner Health Botanicals. In these days of chemtrails, modified food, and chemical additives, it is more important than ever to do what you can to protect and improve on your health. So head on over to survivetothrive.net and check out their products. That's Survive to Thrive, S-U-R-V-I-V-E, the number 2, T-H-R-I-V-E.net.
Welcome back, folks. Nathan Liao here. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today is Tuesday, February 1st, 2011, the year of our Lord. And before the break, we were talking about a lot of the events that 2011 has already visited to this planet. 2011 has not let us down, and 2011 has begun in a very dramatic fashion. And folks, here we are, the first day of February, and I believe that as the year progresses, we're going to see more of the same. Very dramatic things are going to be happening. This world right now is in the middle of a judgment. This judgment's going to last for years. And it is the duty of every person listening to do what they need to do to prepare for this thing, to endure it. Because, you know, folks, the outcome of a judgment can be determined according to how a person responds during the judgment and according to the spiritual choices that the individual decides to make. And that's why I constantly am encouraging all of you to find salvation with God. And when I say salvation, I am talking about Jesus Christ, Messiah. I'm talking about placing faith in the salvation that Jesus has available for all of us because of his shed blood that was poured out from him on the cross 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross for the sins of man. That's the only remedy, my friends. The cross of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Now let's talk about what's going on in the Middle East, in Egypt, with this revolt. What's going on over there? What does it mean? Why is it happening? How serious is it going to get? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? You know, if you've been watching this ongoing saga on American cable news, it would seem that on the surface, it appears that it's a great thing. How many of us saw the Tiananmen Square heroics of that individual who stood in front of the military tank? Those of you old enough to remember, it was very touching and it was a display of bravery for the whole world to see. Well, when we see these people revolting, marching, protesting in Egypt, the news media is painting a similar picture. I believe Obama has even talked about how he's for the regime change in Egypt. Hillary Clinton has talked about it. They've said that they want the Egyptian president to do a peaceful and a quick transition, allow the nation of Egypt to have their wishes, let them have their new leadership. So that's what the American State Department is saying to Egypt. When I first saw these events happening a week ago, I found myself processing this situation in the same paradigm as Tiananmen Square. But over the last few days, I have actually started digging, trying to understand all the players in this, and now I have come to a different conclusion. And that's what we're going to talk about. Now, to give a quick background, in case you haven't been following the story, this revolt started not in Egypt, but it started in Tunisia. If you look on a map, Tunisia, T-U-N-I-S-I-A, is a small Arab country, and a series of street protests began in December of last year, and then they started happening last month in January. The protests began to grow, and they led to the ouster of the Tunisian president. He fled, and he went to Saudi Arabia on January the 14th. Then, major demonstrations began to occur simultaneously in Yemen, Egypt, Algeria, and even Jordan. And there's been some minor demonstrations in Saudi Arabia, Oman, Sudan, and Libya. So it seems that simultaneously, we have all of these protests that are beginning in the Middle East. And on the surface, once again, I could see how a student of freedom and democracy would say, wow, good for them. They're protesting for freedom. Good. Now, after the demonstrations in Yemen on January the 23rd, the president of Yemen announced that he was going to step down when his term expires. So now the protests were able to change the Yemen government and then the Tunisian government. Well, over the past week, the demonstrations in Egypt have grown larger. They're becoming more energetic, more passionate. There's more people involved. And now it looks like it's becoming even more of a revolution than just a demonstration. It's becoming a revolt in Egypt. Now, as I've been watching this story unfold, I noticed that at first it was just protesters demonstrating, and then the riot police showed up, but then the demonstrators grew so large that they were able to overcome the riot police. And the Egyptian riot police were shooting rubber bullets and tear gas into the crowds, but they still were overcome. So within the course of several days, the police were nowhere to be found. And then the military showed up. In several large towns of Egypt, the tanks showed up on the streets, but the military up to this point has not fired onto the civilians. They haven't shot the civilians. And in fact, the stories coming out are saying that many of the members of the military are on the civilian side. And that's the lower ranking military. Now, the higher ranking military may not feel as sentimental to the Egyptian civilians. But even still with that, they have not fired upon the civilians. Now, over the past few days, the demonstrations have grown in size. They've grown more violent. And now, if you've been following this story, the citizens have been able to burn down government buildings, police stations, and actually loot them and take out all the belongings, computers, desks, chairs. They are raiding many government buildings now in Egypt. In addition to that, the citizens are now starting to loot just regular businesses, and they're starting to carry out waves of destruction upon themselves. They're breaking into stores, and recently, some looters went into the museum in Cairo and damaged some of the mummy displays. They actually took apart a mummy. They broke into some of the cases, and they're destroying the artifacts of Egypt. You know, when I saw that happening, I had to scratch my head saying, why in the world would you be doing that? That makes no sense. The artifacts of Egypt belong not only to the Egyptians, but in a way, they belong to the entire world, to archaeology. So I don't understand that one. So now it looks like the protests are turning into just gang thuggery, where people are starting to do harm to one another. So that's where they are up to this point. Now, the question needs to be asked, well, okay, if the citizens are protesting and they want to have new leadership, have they provided the choices? And up to a few days ago, there were no choices. They didn't even offer a choice. But now, all of a sudden, a choice has shown up. And I have the report right here of who the choice is. And his name is Mohammed El-Badadeh. He seems to be the leading choice for the new leadership in Egypt. Is he going to be friendly to democracy? Is he going to be friendly to the old policies of Egypt? Is he going to honor the peace treaty with Israel? Is he going to be friendly to the United States? And now we have this new guy showing up all of a sudden, Mohammed Badadeh. And this individual, I've been doing some research on him, and it looks like he's actually a CFR, New World Order proponent. He looks to have been groomed by Zbigniew Brzezinski. And it looks like this Mohammed El-Badadeh is an insider of the New World Order, folks. So this new guy shows up, and he's been encouraging the protesters. He's been making promises. He's told them that you are the owners of this revolution. You're the future. And our essential demand is the departure of the old regime. Mr. El-Badadeh also has served on the board of trustees of a non-governmental organization called the International Crisis Group. And this organization has the funding of George Soros. So it looks like this individual is a puppet of the New World Order. In addition to that, Mr. El-Badadeh has also endorse the Muslim Brotherhood. And I want to talk about them for a moment. But first, the Muslim Brotherhood has been talked about recently in some of the cable news channels. And some people are asking the question, are they going to be friendly to the new regime? Is the Muslim Brotherhood going to influence the regime change, the new president? And what does the Muslim Brotherhood believe? Who are they? Because we're hearing that they are influencing these protests. And actually, as I was doing some research, folks, it seems that they have been influencing many of the protests that we are seeing spread out across the Middle East. The Muslim Brotherhood is sponsoring them. And that's why we have noticed that all of the protests seem to have started all at the same time. It's because they have a sponsor. Now, as I stated, these protests have spread to several countries, and they have even spread to Jordan. And I'm going to talk about that if I have enough time a little bit later. But it looks like these protests have been in the planning for several years, because the Daily Telegraph just released a story several days ago that the American embassy in Cairo was contacted by a young individual who wanted to cause demonstrations and protests against the Egyptian government. And this individual contacted the American embassy 3 years ago. He told them how he was going to do it. And it looks like the American embassy then placed that young person in contact with other individuals that might have shown him how to actually pull this thing off. So it may be possible that the American government, using covert individuals, I don't know, let's say CIA, might have influenced and shown and nurture this whole protest movement that we're seeing now. Now, I know on the surface that sounds crazy, but those of you that are taking notes, you can Google this. You can Google the Daily Telegraph and then type this in. America's secret backing for rebel leaders are behind the uprising. America's secret backing for rebel leaders behind uprising. So isn't that interesting, folks? Regime change. That's nothing new for the powers that be. So as I was reading this story, I was thinking, well, okay, this individual wanted to do regime change. Who is he influenced by? After I did more digging, it looks like the Muslim Brotherhood have their paws in every one of these demonstrations. And let's talk about the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood was an organization that began in 1928, so they've been around for a long time. And they're known worldwide as the Muslim Brotherhood, or MB, or they're also known by their Arabic name, Ikhwan. And let me tell you their stated goals. I have it right here. Their express purpose is twofold: to implement Sharia law worldwide, that's number one. Number two, to reestablish the global Islamic state. So they want to spread Islam to the entire world. Now get this, folks. On Fox News, on CNN, MSNBC, they've talked about the Muslim Brotherhood, and they have said the Muslim Brotherhood is a peaceful organization. They don't believe in violence. And I have been hearing that over and over for the past several days. But their creed, their official creed, the Brotherhood creed, is, get this, folks. They say, number one, God is our objective. Number two, the Quran is our law. Number three, the Prophet is our leader. Number four, jihad is our way. Number five, and death for the sake of Allah is the highest of our aspirations. Now, that doesn't sound nonviolent to me. By the way, if you want to do more research on them, just Google the Muslim Brotherhood's creed, and it'll come right up. Now, according to their tactics, the Brotherhood is the root of the majority of Islamic terrorist groups in the world today. And now they're active in over 80 countries. And this is what they feel about the United States and other nations of the free world. They say that their mission in the West is sedition in the furtherance of Sharia's supremacist agenda, not peaceful assimilation and not coexistence with non-Muslim populations. Now, let me say that again, folks. The Brotherhood's mission in the West is sedition in the furtherance of Sharia law, to spread it. They want to spread their Islamic ways to the West. They don't want to be part of the West. So for those members of the Muslim Brotherhood that may be in the United States and they say, we're not violent because after all, we haven't done anything violent in over 50 years. And you know, folks, that's true. The surface organization, quote unquote, Muslim Brotherhood, has not done anything violent in several decades. However, the Muslim Brotherhood is involved with many other organizations that have been violent. And they go on to say that their purpose in the West is, for the moment, better advanced by the use of nonviolent stealthy techniques. So they're sneaking into this country, folks. They're sneaking into Europe. They're slithering in to the nations of the European Union. And they're imposing the Muslim ways. They're coming in through the back door, and we can already read the reports of what they're doing in France and some other countries in Europe. And that's what they want to do in the United States. They want to take over the West and bring their Islamic ways, their Islamic laws, to take over this country so that they can have the triumph of Sharia law. And that, my friends, is who is now sponsoring the demonstrations and the protests in Egypt, in Yemen, in Lebanon, in Jordan, in Tunisia, and some of the other countries that I haven't mentioned. Also, according to WorldNet Daily, there's a report that just came out a few days ago, and it says that Islamists in the anti-Western Muslim Brotherhood are threatening to cause a wave of an Islamic tsunami that is going to sweep the globe. So what we see happening in Egypt is what their goal is in many Muslim countries. And folks, Egypt is just one of the many places where the Muslim Brotherhood and Islamic unrest is visiting. Now, should we be concerned about this? Well, indeed we should, folks, because right now they're not talking about it. When the demonstrations first started, they were talking about how Christians and Muslims were hand in hand, arm in arm, protesting. But lately, in the last few days, now there are some reports coming out and there are people making posters and cards that are saying they don't care if the peace treaty continues between Egypt and Israel after they get regime change. Now, the peace treaty that I'm talking about is the peace treaty that Israel and Egypt signed in the late 70s. I believe it's approximately 30 years old now, and that has kept Egypt away from fighting Israel. If that happens, that means that there will be nothing motivating Egypt to stay at peace with Israel. Now, the thing that's disturbing about this whole matter is that Obama and Hillary and the administration seems to be encouraging this takeover. Now, I have to ask this question. Doesn't Obama know that the Muslim Brotherhood, the proponents of Islamic fundamentalism, are the ones that are wanting this change? Of course he knows. And of course Hillary knows. So then that raises another question. Why is Obama supporting it? Well, the first thing that I can think of is that the Muslim Brotherhood is going to take over Egypt and many other countries, and Obama is also a Muslim. So it doesn't bother him if the Brotherhood is taking over a lot of the countries that have been pretty stable lately. Now, how unstable can it get if these radical Islamists take over? Well, this is what they have planned. And this is where it gets real interesting when we start examining the long-term ramifications of this. Now, there's another scheduled protest that is going to happen in Syria this Saturday, and they're going to call it the Day of Rage in Syria. And they want to mirror what's happening in Egypt and in Tunisia. Now, the president of Syria is now concerned that he's going to be toppled, and what is that going to mean? Who's going to take over Syria? In addition to Syria, there are also some protests that are happening in Jordan. Jordan at the moment is stable. And if these Muslim Brotherhood radical fanatics take over Jordan, then here's what we have now, folks. Now think about this. If we have a radical in Egypt, if we have one in Syria, if we have one in Jordan, then that means that Israel is going to be surrounded by fundamentalist radicals who are not worried about keeping peace. That's not a good thing, folks, because the end result could be that Israel is once again invaded. And it's not going to stop there. Gaza would also take part in that, and so would Hezbollah in Lebanon. So Israel could find itself once again at the steps of another war. And if a war were to take place, folks, would America just sit back and let it happen? That's the big question. Would Obama support Israel? Would he defend Israel? Or is this what he has planned in the first place? Now, here's something else to think about. Since El Baradei, the new candidate for taking over Egypt, is a puppet of the New World Order, if he has been groomed by Zbigniew Brzezinski, then I have to wonder, why would he take over Egypt and then attack Israel if he's New World Order? Well, here's one of the possibilities of why that could happen. Perhaps they really believe that they could defeat Israel, and they would be willing to try it. So this new individual takes over Egypt, and he aligns himself with the new leadership in Jordan, in Lebanon, in Syria, and they decide to invade Israel. And they're told, maybe behind the scenes, that, okay, folks, we're going to sacrifice Israel for you. You can have them. What if the Obama administration actually said that to them? They would believe it, and then they would attack Israel and try to get rid of Israel, because that's one of their stated goals. Now, of course, we know that Israel would not be defeated, and if that were to occur, then now we're going to have a whole new formula in play. And that is, what does God think about that, and what would God do about that? So that's the next question. But before I answer that one, maybe behind the scenes, Israel could be told by the United States that if Egypt or Jordan or Lebanon or Syria were to try to make any aggressive advances toward them, then they could unleash the powers of fire and brimstone upon their neighbors and destroy them. So is it possible the United States would actually allow Israel to fight the Muslim countries for them, causing World War III, which would erupt into an entire chaotic situation worldwide, which would reach their stated goal of chaos across the globe? And if it did cause World War III, then we would have the bigger members of the world joining in. Russia would join in, of course, on the Muslim side. And we would, of course, be on Israel's side with Europe and members of the West. So we would have war happening with the Koreas and China against us. And then on another front, we would have the Middle East. Folks, we're talking World War III. And the New World Order has leaked their plan. They want a world war, folks. They want to see a population reduction. They want to see a chaotic situation, because then they believe that they can attain order out of chaos. But first they need their chaos. And the order that's going to come out of the chaos, here's what it is, folks. The New World Order beast rises out of the ashes of World War III, like a phoenix. And we've also discussed that the New Age movement, the religious part of the New World Order, actually believes that to enter the Age of Aquarius, which they believe is coming next year, the earth first needs to be purged, and a large part of the population needs to be done away with, because they do not meet the requirements to enter into the New Age. So we have, from several fronts, some crazy beliefs The New Age movement believes the Earth should be purged, depopulated, and then we have the proponents of depopulation of the New World Order who actually want to see the world depopulated. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to happen for sure, but the pieces seem to be coming together. Now, if by the end of 2012, the New World Order wants to be ready to go into the New Age, then if we go backwards from 2012, that takes us to where we are now. So between now and then, is it possible, folks, that the clock is ticking and they need their world war to occur? So what we see happening right now in Egypt is the very beginnings of these events. Is this possible, folks? Indeed, it is possible. And if it is possible, then folks, we are looking at a future that is very grim, very dark. And you know, over the past several years, I have been sharing some very heavy-duty messages where the Holy Spirit has revealed piece by piece the events that are coming to this world, to this nation, to the West, and to this planet. God has revealed that a tyrannical police state is coming. God has revealed that the New World Order is coming. He has revealed that things are going to change, that war is coming. And there are other voices out there that have seen similar visions. Dimitri Dudeman actually saw America burning. He saw America invaded. Folks, the future is going to be very dire. So this is what I'm wondering. Are those the opening moves of the giant chess game to get us to World War III? I would challenge every one of you to be watching very closely the other nations that become involved in these demonstrations. Now, folks, of course, let me say this right up front. I do not want to see these things happen. I don't. I do not want to see World War III happen. I believe prophetically God has warned that these things are going to come, but I don't want to see it start now. And I say that on many programs. I'm always praying for more time. And I believe that you should be praying for more time. But you know what, folks? The calendar of God is in His hands. The great hourglass is in His hands. So is it about to happen, or do we have more time, or where are we? Folks, that's the part that I don't have all those answers. But I believe we need to be watching the Middle East right now. If war does break out, we can expect gasoline to shoot up in price overnight, to double in price. It is going to change everything overnight in this country and in Australia and in Europe. It could be the domino effect that causes the destruction of the currencies as we are expecting. So if war comes, my friends, I mean, think about this. We could be seeing a draft. Those of you with children that are young adults, we could see that. 2011 is going to be very interesting, and I believe we're going to see war in the next few years, whether it's World War III or whether it's the wars to fulfill scripture in the end times or whether it's the war that allows the New World Order to rise up. I don't know which one it's going to be, folks, and I'm not claiming to know exactly because I don't. But I'll say this. I believe war is coming because God has shown that. So because of those reasons, my friends, please seek God. Please seek to get stronger with Him. And begin praying to be found in His protection under the shelter of His wing, Psalms 91. Right, folks? Well, it looks like I'm running out of time. That went by fast. That was a lot of information, folks. That's a lot of stuff to digest, to take in. So, folks, take these things to prayer, and maybe God will reveal some things to you. Real quick, let me say this. If you appreciate these messages, we appreciate your support. The address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho 83856. Or you can go to our website and contact us there. If you have any prayer requests, there's a contact link on our website. So folks, please send any prayer requests that you have, any questions, and we'll look over them, we'll read them, and we'll agree with you in prayer. All right, folks? Well, it looks like we're out of time. Folks, stay safe. Continue in your journey to seek God. Those of you on the East Coast, stay warm, stay safe, be careful. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.